Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Shavuos Daf Zayin. We begin partway down, actually line 17 from the top. Elo Marova. So we're continuing our quest, searching for a source for the halacha mentioned in the Mishnah. Yediyeh Hatuma brings a carbon oil of yerid, which means to save a person, while in a state of impurity. So he not only went and consumed a carbon, not realizing that he's tummy, or he entered the Beis HaMikdash inadvertently. So in the case where he had full awareness before the fact, he knew that he was tummy. So on Sunday, he knew he was tummy. On Monday, when he had this experience, either eating carbon or entering the Mikdash, he forgot that he was tummy. And Tuesday, oops, he recalled. Oh, yesterday I was tummy and I entered the Mikdash. So that triggers a carbon oil of a yerid, a carbon chatas, which is a fluctuating entity. It's a flexible carbon. Depending on your financial abilities, you either bring an animal, a bird, a pair of birds, or a mincha. How do we know this is so? So yesterday we proved one element of this halacha. Rebbe had a gzeira shava, right, that taught us the first element, the achilas kodesh part of this halacha. If you ate a carbon betuma, it triggers this consequence, carbon oil v'yared. What about entering the mikdash betuma? How do we know it has the same effect? El Amar Rava says, Rebbe, I'll tell you how we know. Shalosh krisus b'shlamim lama. If we look at the psukim, we find that the Torah mentions the kares penalty applied to eating a korban shlamim in a state of tumah while the man is tummy. It mentions it no less than three times. One time in Parshas Emor and twice in Parshas Tzav. Why the repetition? Why discuss the same halacha three times? Lama. Answers as follows. Ahas leklal. One, as a generalization. Pasuk in Parshas Emor relates to all the korbanos, all the kachim. It would sound like it applies to any korban. V'achas l'prat. Then we have the pasuk in Parshas Tzav, which specifies, limits it, because it refers to specifically a korban shlamim, which teaches us, explains Rashi, it teaches us that any a korban which is called kadosh mizbeach, mizbeach related korbanos, like a shlamim, like a chatas, etc., as opposed to kachim bedek habayis, a carbon, an animal which belongs to the, Beis HaMikdash building fund. It's only monetarily kaddish. It's not meant as an actual, meant to be offered an actual carbon on Mizbeach. Hence, the second mention of this halacha. We have to define, elaborate upon the first. Not any type of carbon, any type of kachim. It's specific to kachim Mizbeach. If one consumed it in a state of tumah, it generates a kares consequence. And the third mentioning of this halacha, va'achas, oh, it's an extra, seemingly redundant discussion. It's coming to fill an hour blank, to provide a source for the halacha that we're looking for. Va'achas l'tumah k'suba teristam, it's coming to elaborate and explain. On that pasuk over there, Vayikra Perakeh, which is the focal point of our discussion, where it discusses Korban Oil of Yared, it doesn't specify what exactly went wrong. It's stam, it's unspecified. Ve'eni idea mahi, not sure what exactly went wrong there. So we take a look at this extra mentioning, where the Torah speaks about Adam Tami, who ate a carbon shlamim, which, as we explained, is extra, unneeded. And the rule is, when we have something extra, we deliver it, we export it to where we need it. I'm not sure what that pasuk there in Vayikra Hay is discussing. Now we know. Tumas Kodesh. He was involved in holiness while he was tummy. Now, v'meino inyan the Tumas Kodesh, if it's not needed. For a case where he ate a carbon tumah, because that's already known. We have another source for that. The Nafkalim of the Rebbe. Yesterday we had Rebbe who taught us through Gzeira Shava. that Karban Oyla V'Yerod applies for a fellow who ate Karban Batum. It's not needed for that. We apply it to what it's needed to fill in the extra blank, which is Tumas Mikdash. There you go. So this is the source for Karban Oyla V'Yerod by Tumas Mikdash as well. So again, if he entered the Mikdash, not realizing that he's Tumas, then he recalls, he brings a Karban Oyla V'Yerod. Now this is based on the notion that we have those three mentionings of Tumah with Kachem, which are somewhat redundant. No, they're not extra at all. They're all needed for their own sake. V'hami boyle, look at the Rabbi Vo. We need it for Rabbi Vo's halacha. Damar Rabbi Vo, Shalosh. He asks the same question. Shalosh krisus b'shlamim lama. Why do we find a thrice mentioning of Kares by Shlamim? Why is that needed? The answer is achas leklal, achas leprat. First two are needed to define the offense. Generalization, all korban is no, specifically a korban shlamim. And the third one, which we thought was extra, and we took it to where we need it to fill in that blank. No, achas ledvarim she'enan ne'echolin. Come to teach us a new element called dvarim she'enan ne'echolin. If one consumes a material which isn't really edible. For instance, wood designated for the Mizbeach. And he was tummy while he, so to speak, ate this stuff. He's chayiv karis, which is a big chiddush. Typically, forbidden foods are only, you know, if they're edible. Here, even inedible kacha material qualify. The Gemara also explains because it's called chibas ha-kodesh. The dearness, the fact that it's kodesh, that gives it its own status, even if it's not really edible, it's deemed like as though it would be edible. And that's why we need that third pasuk. It's not extra at all. It's coming to teach us this unusual halacha. Now, Rav Shimon the Omar, according to Rav Shimon, who disagrees with this point, Omar dvarim she'enan ne'echolin, things which are not really edible, ein chayar malein karis, there's no karis. When he eats it, mishum tumah, when he eats it, when he's tummy. So then we don't have that halacha. But still, suye chatois apnimiyes. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, we still need the extra pasuk. It's not extra at all, it's coming to teach us. The halachas of eating betumah, which generates curse, applies even to the internal chatos. The chatos which is offered inside, the dam is, blood is applied to the mizbeach of the Heichal, the internal Mizbeach. And there's a need to elaborate on that as well, because there would be room to differentiate, to set it apart, to give it its own status, to exempt it from the system. And that's why we need a pasuk for that, a special pasuk. Why? The Sakhat Amina, perhaps I would say, Hoyal of Amar Pshim, since Rav Shimon says, regarding a different halacha, regarding pigel. Pigel means a person does one of the steps in the Hakrava process with the wrong plan. I plan on eating the carbon, you know, in a week from now, or be makar of it tomorrow, right? So that carbon attains the status of pigel with severe consequences for one who eats it, right? So Rav Shimon says, pigel is only applicable to certain carbonis. Unless the carbon follows the shlamim model, which means that it's offered on the external Mizbeach like a shlamim, because you see the discussion of pigul in the Torah revolves around the shlamim. That's the example that the pasuk speaks about. So anything that conforms to that has the full weight of the pigul consequence, but otherwise, if it's a carbon that follows a different process, ein chayav nalov mishum pigel, if one eats that carbon, when it's pigel, there's no chiv. So, according to him, perhaps, just like there's no pigel, the full pigel system doesn't apply, unless you're like a shlamim. So mishum tumah nami loy, perhaps, regarding tumah as well. If it's a different type of carbon, it's not a carbon that follows the shlamim model. If the person who was tummy ate it, perhaps there's no chi of karis. Namila kamashmal, that's why we need the special extra pasuk, the third pasuk, the machayev, that it applies there as well, that he's liable, fully liable. There's no extra pasuk. Each one is needed. So back to the question. Well, back to our search. Where is our source to apply a carbon oila b'yared? By tumas midash, by entering the midash in a state of tuma. Ella amri nahardoy. So the people nahardoy quoted Rava, Shmed Rava, who provided an alternate source. Sholosh tumois b'shlamim lama. Again, back to the three psukim just mentioned, right, regarding a fellow who ate a carbon shlamim while he was tameh. So in addition to the pasuk speaking about the kares consequence, it also makes reference to the fact that he was tameh. He was tameh, again he was tameh, again he was tameh. Each pasuk mentions it again, which is seemingly unnecessary, because once we see that he's tameh from the other pasukim, we assume, by the time we get to the third pasuk, it seems to be unnecessary. Maybe even the second pasuk, because it's obvious from the first pasuk that he was tameh. Otherwise, it wouldn't be curses related to tuma. So why mention tuma again and again? Ella amri nahardoy mishmed rava shalosh tumois b'shlamim lama. What's the point of mentioning tuma three times in this context? The answer is achas laklal, achas laprat. One is to generalize that any sort of tuma interaction with a carbon carries this consequence. Achas laprat. Then pasuk comes around and elaborates. Clarifies, no, it's only specific to a carbon that belongs in this class, the kachim mizbeach va'achas. And the third mentioning of tumah is to provide our source. L'tumah haksuva b'teres tam, to elaborate on that pasuk over there in Vayikra, hey, which speaks about a carbon oil of the earth, which is unspecified, not much detail provided there, to tell you, any idea, I'm not sure, Mahi, what exactly is this, is involved. Havi Omer Tumas Kodesh. Here comes the pasuk and says, well, you should know that is also speaking about a fellow who ate a carbon b'tumah. And again, v'imeinu inyan l'tumas kodesh, if it's not needed for eating a carbon b'tumah, because that's already known from the other halacha, the nafkalim the Rebbe, that's the Gzeir Shavah of Rebbe discussed yesterday. So again, if it's extra, we send it to where it's needed to fill in the missing blank. Tineu inin, apply to the halacha of a tumas migdash, a fellow who entered the migdash b'tumah, which generates a carbon oil of yerid. Asks the Gemara, v'hai nami mibayle. What do you mean the lashon tumah is extra? I did the boyle michtav karis. Look at the Ravo. You see, if we step back a minute, the previous discussion that we had, that the pasuk is extra, it's unnecessary to say kari so many times. So you said that the third was for Rabbi Yavo, to include even inedible items, eaten betuma, have the same consequence. Right? So if you need, if the pasuk has to elaborate on that and present that halacha, it has to say it in the context of tuma to complete the picture. Otherwise, just have a half story. What happened? Oh, he ate some. What was he? What status did he have? Was he tummy? So you need to fill in all the missing details. You can't just leave a very critical element out of the story. You have to describe him as being tummy. We need the third mentioning of tuma in the third pasuk. I did the boy lemichtav karis, because since it was necessary to present the karis consequence, look at the Ravo in line with Rabbi Avo, that even inedibles are included, right? If he's tummy and eats an edible mizbeach material, he gets karis. Kosav nami tumois. Dele sagal lav hochi. Inevitably, the Torah has to include the tumah language once and again, otherwise you wouldn't know what's going on. So there's nothing extra. So back to square one. Where's the source? Elam Arava, I have another gzera shava for you. Asya tumasa tumasa. We connect through tumasa. Ksiv hacha. Over here, meaning in Vayikra Perakei, where we discuss carbon oil v'yared, which was that sort of obscure pasuk, a fellow became tummy. What did he do, right? He was left up in the air. We're trying to define that. So it says tumasa. L'choyel tumasa. Ksiv hacha l'chol tumasa. Ksiv hacha. And over there, which is in Parshas Chukas, right? A fellow who didn't avail himself to the services of the Paraduma. And then it says he entered the Migdash, right? Beginning of Parshas Chukas, it says this Migdash, es Mishkan Hashem Timei, he was metameh the Mishkan by entering in the state of Tumah. V'nichos ha'adar, right? And it says, Tameyi, oy Tumah Sabai, because he's still in the state of Tumah. We have the Lashon Tumah Sabai. Ma'alahal and Tumas Migdash, just like there, it's within the context of metameh the Beis HaMigdash, it says this Mishkan Hashem Timei. Avkan Tumas Migdash, likewise over here. In Vayikra Perakei, where we discuss Korban Eilo Yered, it's specific to Tumas Migdash. There you go. We finally have our source. That a fellow who is Metame Migdash or Kedashav, meaning in a state of personal Tumah, he consumed Korban or entered the Migdash, unknowingly, right? Then he discovered what he did. He brings the Korban Eilo Yered. One more question remaining is that in the Pasuk of Vayikra Hey, we have the word ba, which we mentioned yesterday. It says, L'chol tumasai asher yitma ba. Ba typically is like a miut, an exclusionary term, only applicable in this case and not in any other. Like a person who ate truma in a state of tumma, b'sheigig. He wouldn't have the same consequence of a carbon oil of yerit. Well, why would we say that truma is included, is covered by the same system? I mean, once we've established that the Pasuk speaking about one of two cases, eating a carbon or entering the Migdash, these are very consequential violations. They carry kares if done b'mezid. So perhaps, so why would I even think to include Truma, which is a totally different system? V'lebal amali. The answer is l'rabbis. Actually, it's not coming to exclude, it's coming to include Nivlas Iftar. If a person eats a dead bird, from a kosher variety, but it's dead. So it wasn't shechted and you can't eat it. Now, this type of bird is not metame by merely touching. If you touch it, you don't become tummy. It doesn't spread tumma by contact. One only absorbs its tumma, one is only affected by its tumma while he's eating it and swallowing it. It's called beves havliya. It's a different type of transfer of tumma, right, than your typical. The Pasuk says, ba, it's covering even this case. He became tumah through this vehicle, through this means. He also carries the same consequence upon entering the Migdash, etc. So what do you mean? Ha amris ba miutuhu. We know that ba is typically a miut. It excludes, doesn't include. How could you come and use it to include the nevela of the iftar? The answer is like this. Mishum de miutuhu. Exactly as such, because ba is a miut, iyater. That's why because this miut is actually coming to include. What does that mean? Is it a miut or not? The answer is there's a double miut, and we know when there's a double miut, like two negatives turn into a positive, right? When you say no after no, you mean no, yes, right? So here as well, we have one miut followed by another, which allows us to include even nivlas oif tohar. Because Ksiv, it says, Oikiyiga, the Pasuk in describing the process and how he became Tamei, he touched the Bar Negia, implying the only thing that affects him to this extent is something that spreads its tumor by way of contact. The Bar Negia in, like your standard, you know, carcass, dead animal. The law of Bar Negia loy, but like a bird which doesn't spread by touching, doesn't impart tumor by contact, perhaps does not conform to this system. So that's a miut. And then it says another miut, Uksiv Ba. That's a double miut, miut to have, a double miut, right? One exclusionary term followed by another. Ve'ein miut achar miut, and you know what happens? A little rabbi actually comes to include. So bottom line is, we discovered our sources, finally. Mishnah says, if he knew that he was tummy on Sunday, on Monday, he either ate a carbon or entered the Middash, not realizing that he's tummy, and Tuesday he discovers what he did. He brings a carbon oil of a yard. How do we know? Because we have a discussion, Sukkim in Sefer Yikra Perak Hey, discussing a fellow who became Tamei, and something happened. He brings a carbon oil yerid. What exactly happened? So we had a Gzeres Shava, presented by Rebbe, teaching us that we're speaking about Tumas Kodesh, he ate a carbon betuma, and today we have another Gzeres Shava, the whole Tumas Soy, that it covers Tumas Migdash as well. both generated carbon oil b'yared. And that's all good and well because it's relatively good and well. He's eligible for a carbon because he had awareness prior to the incident and also following the incident. Right? So it conforms to the prerequisites. There was yediyah, there was halam and yediyah. What if he knew only beforehand? On Sunday he knew he was tummy, but then totally slipped his mind. He never discovered that he did anything wrong. Up to today, he hasn't discovered it. What happens there? What protects him from Yisurim, from the consequence, from the impact of his activity? So Mishnah gave us the system for that as well. Yesh bo yidea b'tchila. He knew beforehand. Ve'ein bo yidea b'soif. But not after the fact. Soir nasa b'fnim. The internal soir. That's the soir l'ashem of the couple there. We have the pair of goats. One is l'ashem. One is l'azaza. So soir l'ashem, the one that's served inside, bifnim. It's unique in the sense that the dam is brought all the way to the Holy of Holies, all the way in the Kadosh HaKadoshim, and then in the Heichal as well. That's going to address this circumstance and sort of put it on standby, protect him in the interim. A temporary restraining order, so to speak, a reprieve, protecting from any Chas V'Shalom Yisurim on account of what he did. Tanur Rabban, how do we know this is true, that this carbon addresses this type of circumstance? This is a pasuk describing the carbon of a discussion, the soyer nasa b'fnim. The pasuk in Perik Achrei Mois, it will be mechaper mitumais b'nei Yisrael. Now, which tuma? We're assuming what we're looking for, but how do we know? It's going to take a while till we get there. Yeshli b'din azeh, so right off the bat I can say, well, tuma, lots of options out there. Lahavi shalish tumais. Perhaps the three cardinal sins that all are associated with Tumah. Tumas Avedah Zorah, Tumas Gili Arayis, Tumas Shvichas Damim. How do we know? Avedah Zorah, who Aymer, we find Tumah of Avedah Zorah, Laman, Tameis Mikdashi. There you go. So Tumah is related to Avedah Zorah. Likewise, Begili Arayis, immorality, also connects to Tumah. Who Aymer, Vashmarta Besmishmarti, Lubilti Asayis, Mechagasata Evois, and the Pasuk warns, related to Amubahem. Apparently, impurity is how the Pasuk coins. Likewise, by killing, so perhaps the carbon addresses these three sins. Perhaps the sir atones for these, rather than our case of tumas midash kadosh. Look at the pasuk, mitumais bnei Yisrael. Some tuma activity, something unique, something different, something that stands apart, something that has its own unique system. Later, the world will tell us. That's specific to Tumas Migdash HaKadosh, which has its own type of carbon, in contrast to the typical carbon, which is a set standard value. You bring a chatas, an animal. Here it's fluctuating, adjustable, based on your income, based on your financial ability. So that's mitumai, something unique. We like tumas as opposed to the general tumas. Ma motinu shechili akosof. Which item, which circumstance, do we find that the Torah is set aside, set apart, made distinct, miklal kol tumas from the other tumas? We have only one consideration, Tumas Migdash Gadoshav, which generates a carbon oil b'yared, Afkan here as well, meaning this carbon is specific for that. But Tumas Migdash Gadoshav addresses that, and only that. Whose shita is this? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So again, Rabbi Yehuda is medayik from the Lashon Mitumais, the Sar HaPnimi will serve to address Tuma violations, which are unique, which are different, which are exclusive. The assumption is, it relates to Tumas, Migdash, Kedashav, which indeed are different than your standard Tumas. Rabbi Shimon Aymer, no need to go there. Mim Kaimai Humurcha, just let's focus on the wording of the Pasuk, which will substantiate our source. Look at the words. Rabbi Aymer, the Pasuk says, V'chiper ala Kaidesh mitumais. The carbon, the Sar HaPnimi, will atone for tumas relating to Kodesh. It's right there, black and white. Mitumas shel Kodesh. Hence, our source, that the Sar HaPnimi addresses tumas Migdash HaKadosh. Now, once we got to that point, let's continue. Which type of tumas Migdash HaKadosh? We have several options, several possibilities. We have the standard classic. He knew on Sunday, forgot on Monday, in the classic Sunday, Monday, Tuesday story. He knew on Sunday that he was Tamei. Monday he ate a carb, no, entered the Mikdash, not realizing. Tuesday he realizes. We have that option. Now that actually generates a carbon olav yerid. We don't need a carbon. In addition to that, we have the case where he knew on Sunday, but then totally slipped his mind. He has yet to recall. We have the opposite. He never knew till after the fact. So which one is it coming? Yochel. So let's explore all the options. Yochel al kol tumah shebekodesh. Yisor zeh mechaper. Perhaps this soir is mechaper in all tumah circumstances. Tamaloyma umpish'eyem l'chol chatoysam. Even, you know, even cases where he'll bring a carb. No. Umipish'eyem l'chol chatoysam. What's unique about a pesha? A sin that he violated willingly, knowingly. That's not eligible for a carbon, right? So it's interesting. The pasuk relates to pesha, and also said l'chol chatoysam, which is an inadvertent sin, which does qualify for a carbon. So which one is it? What do he do? We connect one to the other. It's a type of chet, a type of unintentional chet, which is not really eligible for a carbon. That's the answer. Chatoim dumi depshoim. The Sarah Pnimi will address chatoim, which are similar in nature, similar properties to a pesha. Not eligible for a carbon. For a carbon, you have to follow very specific prerequisites. You have to know before and then find out later. But here, he's missing one of those conditions. Ma pshoim she'enem ne'karben, just like a pesha, does not trigger a carbon. Af chatoim, likewise, the chet that we're speaking about, the unintentional transgression, she'enem ne'karben, are not eligible for a carbon. So that scratches the standard classic case of yidiyah b'tchila v'yidiyah b'soif. That brings a carbon. So what's left? U'minayin liyeshba yidiyah b'tchila v'yim v'yidiyah b'soif. But how do I know that it's going specifically on this case where he knew before and then hasn't yet to discover later? Maybe the other way around. Maybe it's talking about a case where he discovered after the fact, not before the fact. U'minayin liyeshba yidiyah b'tchila v'yim v'yidiyah b'soif. How do I know that only that's the case? That the Sar, Shazar Zeh, will address the Shazar Zeh Toila. Toila means like, does a temporary block to protect him from the consequence of what he... How do we know it's referring to this specific case? Now, what's unique about this case? Well, he knew Sunday, but has yet to discover what he did on Monday. Because this can still potentially generate a carbon, when and if we'll find out. As opposed to the other case, where he never knew before, and he only found out after the fact. Too bad, you can't bring a carbon for that. He needs to be Yudia beforehand. So again, how do we know he's talking about a case where he knew beforehand? Tamuloyim l'chol chatoisam. Ah, chayavi chatois b'mashma. It's specific to a circumstance that can still, theoretically, potentially generate a carbon. And until he discovers it, the Sa'ir HaPnimi will take care of it in the meantime. Amamra. Let's go back and review the first suggestion we had. Perhaps it's referring to the three cardinal sins. Yeshli binyan hazeh, lo b'gimel tumos. Perhaps it's referring to the three transgressions: tumas avodah zara, tumas gilui arayot, tumas shefichas dam. How can we conceivably think that this carbon will address those sins? Those have their own specific consequences. Look, hayav avodah zara echidami. When we say avodah zara, what exactly happened? Ibn Mezid, he did it intentionally. Bar Katolo, he gets killed by the Bezin. There's no other system for that. Ibn Shagig, he did it b'shagig. Bar Karbon, he brings a Karbon Chatas. That's it, it's done. So why would I need a Sayyid Apnimi? The answer is, we're speaking about cases where we can't really address and punish for technical reasons. For instance, Ibn Mezid, he did it b'n Mezid. Well, the Ashrabah, he wasn't warned. So we're sort of stuck. Or b'shagig, he did it b'shagig. Well, Yadla, he never discovered what he did. So perhaps those will be addressed by the sir. That's what we thought. Now we sort of scratched that and shifted to Tumas Migdash or Kedoshev, based on either Rabbi Yudas, mode of sourcing, or Rabbi Shimon. And the same thing regarding the other two options. Gili Arayis, Nami, there as well. Hechidami, what exactly happened? Ibn Mezid, he gets killed by Katalo. Ibn Shoigig, by Karbon, he brings a Karbon. So why would I need a sir apnimi for that? He brings, other Karbon, Chatos. Answer is, cases where, for technical reasons, we can't address them through conventional means. B'mezid, when he wasn't warned, b'li ashrabay, or b'shaygig, b'li ziyadli, he never discovered what he did. And finally, shuchas damim nami, regarding killing, hechadamim, what exactly happened? B'mezid, he did it b'mezid, bar katolo, he gets killed. B'shaygig, if it was done unintentionally, by accident, bar galusu, he sent to exile, like we just had in the Maseches Makos. So either way, we have a a way to address this. We don't need a backup system of the Seir HaPnimi. Again, the answer is b'mezid. Either he did it purposely, or maybe it wasn't worn ahead of time. Or b'shaygeg, sadly, we never discovered it. Inami, or he did it b'shaygeg, but golas isn't an automatic system. For instance, b'hanach, those circumstances, then are not eligible for golas. Remember, we had so many conditions. Lavani golas nino, like Rashi says, you know, golas is only when he killed with a downward, you know, swoop, downward motion. Let's say he killed him sweeping upwards, wouldn't work. All kinds of situations where he's exempt from golas. Perhaps for those, we would utilize the Seir HaPnimi, and the answer was, no, it's meant for something else entirely. Okay, so in a nutshell, we had a fellow who engaged with a carbon or entered the Mikdash in a state of Tumah, b'shaygi. If he knew beforehand and afterwards, just slipped his mind while it happened, then he brings a carbon oil of a yared, that was based on the Psukim and Parshas in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Hey, where it speaks about a fellow who became Tameh, whether by touching or by swallowing the Niblas of Tar, we included that as well. And the way we know that it's speaking about Tumas Mikdash HaKadosh was by way of those Gzeres Shaveis. Or in a case where he knew beforehand, slipped during the act, and has yet to discover what happens to this person. We have a special carbon for that as well. It's sort of a backup temporary restraining system, the Seir HaPnimi. And how do we know it's speaking about this type of person? So either we have Rabbi Yehuda's system, or Rav Shimon who says, take a look at the pasuk, V'chiper al HaKodesh, Mitumais Bnei Yisroel, was speaking about Tumais relating to Kodesh. Now, how do we know we're speaking that he knew before and then not afterwards? Because, A, the pasuk clearly indicates that it's Dumi the Pesha, it's like a Pesha, which is not eligible, which is currently not eligible for a carbon. So apparently we're not speaking about the classic case where he knew before and discovered after. That's addressed by the standard, you know, carbon oil yared. And likewise, we know it's not speaking about a case where he didn't know before, because in that case, he's not eligible for a carbon. The pasuk clearly speaks about something which is l'chol chatoisim, something which can still theoretically generate a chatos, and that's specific to a case where he knew beforehand. And although it slipped his mind, but potentially it still carries a chatos, you know, option as soon as he finds it. So this act is addressed temporarily by the chatos of the Yom Kippur, the Seir HaPnimi. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.